You might like to open your Bible and go to Hebrews and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father and God, set apart the food, even your word. God, we want to feed. Thy word is full of life, nutrients. God, we want to be able to assimilate, absorb your word. Thank you very, very, very much, Spirit of God. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, Book of Hebrews, we're in chapter 12. Let me go back to chapter 1 and come back up to chapter 12. And you would keep in mind, God has something to say. Hebrews chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 2. God, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, who are you? I am God incarnate. Verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's God. God. We're reading God's word. God has something to say. And God has said it, like in Jeremiah, and recorded it. So A, we aren't reading some book from the library or anything else. We're reading in Hebrews, God is speaking, and therefore, who's speaking to us? God is. Start with that. There's no one else like him. Secondly, you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect, if we are indifferent, if we are negligent? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, God has something to say, and he wants, and it's sobering, because how do we get around and avoid, if we avoid him speaking? And we say, well, so what? How do we get out of that one? How shall we escape? There is no escape. Because there is no other authority. God has something to say, and he said it. And there is no higher and no louder voice than that. Secondly, you will please notice in Hebrews, thirdly, I should say, in chapter 2, picking up, if I can, down to verse 10. 2 and 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain, of their salvation perfect through suffering. To make this so, God has something to say. He has gone and said it. And we are warned, if we don't hear what he said, there is no escape from the consequences, because we didn't hear what he said. Who is he saying it to? Sons. God made a wonderful relationship possible to know him as our Lord and Savior. And in verse 11, For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one of the same source. God in Christ sanctifies us, and we are sanctified in the Son as sons. So we are sanctified and set apart, the same as God, incarnation, born in Bethlehem of Judea. God has set us apart in Christ, like he is set apart. We're sanctified, set apart, like the watch, remember. The watch is set apart, sanctified for the person. There's 1,000 watches. This one is sanctified. I sanctified it. To what? To fulfill its purpose and tell me the time. I sanctified it. When God saves us, he sanctifies us and sets us apart now. And when we're set apart, verse 11, for which cause? Because of this relationship, God is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now we'll come back to that. But keep that in mind if you would. So, now slide all the way over to chapter 12 or chapter 11. Keeping that in mind, you need to have that in mind. And in chapter 11, in the light of what we just considered, the warning, who's talking, God is. And God has given us a unique relationship to God as sons in the Son. So when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God sets us apart in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, so chapter 11, remember we did know that, is faith. God said, here's a whole list of dear, ordinary people that believed God and pleased God. Without faith, it's in Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please him. These people pleased God. They believed him. Now, and that's what we're looking for. Are you looking for my flesh? No. No flesh show glory in my presence. So what are you? Not flesh. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I'm looking to God by faith. Then, chapter 12, God puts having got that background, God then stands and right in front of us, as it were, and says, consider our Lord as your motive, for your motivation, for your movement. Consider God, if you would, in Christ. He rolled up his sleeves as the Son to run the race all the way down the corridor of time to Calvary's cross. Consider him. So therefore, we read in chapter 12, 1 and 2, we're to run the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight. So we're going down the corridor, and God is the example, our motivation. He's the author, verse 2, he's the author, the beginner. He starts us off. He's the finisher, perfecter. He's going to finish it. So God, you start us off in the race as sons. You sanctify us to run the race, to go down the corridor of time, to honor you. That's what we're going to do as sons. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, God. Now, and therefore, as we read in chapter 12, God disciplines sons in a most wonderful, wonderful way. He disciplines us. Now, having disciplined us as sons, then I got to help remind you and myself some more. Why is it, as you read chapter 12, it's so foreign to the human mind? To believers, it's so foreign. It isn't practical. When was the last time you got spanked by God that you know of? When's that you know of? We don't know. We don't have. What don't we have? What is missing? And this is true, percentage-wise, among believers, way up here. I won't give you a figure. I could say 98%. Maybe. It just is not there. You won't see it. Now, what's the problem? Now, having relationship. You need to have a relationship. That's what it's all about. Hebrews chapter 1, etc. Don't neglect your relationship to God as sons. So, now, if you were living in New York or someplace, and you've come up from somewhere down in the southern part of our hemisphere, and come up, and you live out in the street, and you do, and or no, you don't live in the street, because we're so merciful, we put you up in the best hotel in New York, feed you, give you $1,000 a day, and have anything you want. The meals are all free, medical's free, wonderful. Okay. What's the problem? I don't have a relationship to New York City, to the United States, to the Constitution. I have no commitment to anything. Do you understand that? As long as I'm coming out, living out in the street, make-believe, and we're living on the street, I don't owe any. I don't care. Do you know when a Marine walks by in his uniform, he's very conscious. He's in the Marines. All the rules and regulations that belong to those in the Marines are right in his head. And as long as he walks in that uniform, he is very, very, very conscious. He is obligated to the Marines. True? You go to work, and you can do whatever you want at home, perhaps. But when you go to work at a given place, and at least the old-fashioned way, I don't know what it is today, probably even different. And so go to work. Do you know when I go to work and I punch the time clock or whatever you do, and you go into work, and do you know when you're working there? Do you know what you did, what you can do when you're walking around is one thing. But when you're at work, aren't you obligated to pay attention to the rules and regulations to keep your job? Aren't you? That's what you do. You have a relationship that works. Uniform, policeman, police uniform, whatever you want, you have it. You have that wonderful thing. When you go to school, And when you go to school, you sit in the classroom, it's one thing. But if you're going to sit in an old-fashioned school, well, you sit there and you pay attention, or you got a problem. And what do you do? Why? Because I'm subject as a student relationship to the teacher. In the home, the children are responsible to the parent they're supposed to be. To the parent. Outside of the home, do whatever. That's why they leave home, do whatever. But in the home, they're supposed to be responsible to the rules of the house and what you have. That's what they do. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, you became a son. And as a son, your father is going to stay right on top of you, and you are conscious. When you go to work, when you go to bed, when you brush your teeth, you're conscious of what I'm a son of my Father. And I'm always conscious of God and His Word and His Son. I'm His Son. But if I'm not His Son in practice, in reality, I'm out in the street. I can do what we come to church. We're in the building. People come to the church building. They are not in the body. They're in the building. They're supposed to be in the body. And the body disciplines you. And when you understand you're a son, when you understand you're a Marine, when you're at work, you are under the, you're very, very much aware of being at work. You're very much aware of how you act, what you do, what you're supposed to do outside. But when I'm a believer, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. So I'm very conscious I'm a believer. My father, when I go to bed, when I walk across the street, I'm a believer. And therefore, I will know the discipline of God. The guy out in the street living out there has no idea about the discipline of work or the Marine. None whatsoever. And that's where people are. That's where too many Christians are. They are not practicing being a son. They're related to God and they are obligated. And when you're obligated, you understand discipline. And you're being brought up. Different illustration. In the home. Here's the little child growing up. And the little child's in the home and assuming, oh, we're going to do this. I'm just wondering. In the home and doing whatever and with discipline. The discipline of a four-year-old is quite different than a 14-year-old. Quite different. What I expect of a 14-year-old is one thing. What I expect of a 4-year-old is another thing. And they're growing. The word discipline, chasten, which is all over the place in chapter 12. That's the word chasten, discipline, bringing up. It's the opposite of nursing. The little baby is nursed. Discipline, bringing up, training. And when you're conscious of being in the house, being in work, being in the Marines, being a child of God, you're going to be conscious of it. And you're conscious when you goof, you're conscious when you do it wrong, you're conscious when you lose it. I'm conscious of God's discipline. If I leave God out of the picture, I have no consciousness, which is 98% of the believers. That's a wild guess, but you understand? They have no sense of God, discipline. So when Hebrews chapter 12 comes into existence, we don't even understand it. And so you wonder why the church is like it is. The church is supposed to be a live, wonderful body of human beings got saved by the grace of God, and God gives them a wonderful exercise of knowing Him. And here we are in His presence. So I don't know whether that helps you. If you don't practice being a son, you won't understand being in the body. We're in the body. People can come to church in and out. They are no, but if members, we got guidelines. Why? For the body. For what? To function. Function, to be present a consistent picture in a cuckoo world. We had Jeanette showing me somewhere the other day, the three of them over here in Wesleyan with whatever it was. And one was one thing, and the other was other. And the other guy had solid red hair sticking up. Now I said, I never saw anyone born with such hair. I never did. And now, if you can have 85 different shades, 85 different things, it isn't about, it's about us, not about God. And so we blend. So there's no, we don't give the opening door for anything. We hold it tight. We try to, if people want to, but you try to live in the, you're supposed to live in the middle safe. So when you fall down, you're always safe ground. You don't try to live here on the edge and fall down because then you fall off. So you try to keep your act right, your head right, your heart right. So when we have all our problems, we're at least staying on the foundation and we aren't way over here. You're going to have that. And without that, we're just a whole bunch of people And whether church group, government group, school group, a gang, a cartel member, whatever you want. We're all doing our thing. It isn't about God. We aren't even thinking about God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to do Hebrews 12 again. I'm trying to help you. Because I look and I say, why is it that it is totally almost absent in the mind of people disciplined? Well, I get make believe he had some kind of physical problem. Sometimes, well, maybe God's punishing me for something, see? But you don't know that. If your heart's right, you're already going to be sensitive. You learn to be the four-year-old. The four-year-old is learning to be sensitive to the parents. Parents. At 14, you're pretty good. It's true you want to be an independent adult at 14. But you're very conscious of the parents, of the rules, of the guidelines, and you stay with them. That's like we did with Jeremiah 35, the Rechabites, as we did the other night. So the Rechabites for 300 years followed the same guidelines that the father laid down. They didn't drink, they always lived in tents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They did that for 300 years without anyone ever telling them. They just plain followed the guideline. That's what makes, and the Lord commends them, chapter 35. He commends them. He applauds them. He wanted to know why Israel couldn't do that. Why couldn't Israel do that? Why did the Rechabites for their father, why couldn't they do that to God? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And so you wonder. And then, I don't get a little sidetracked, but thinking Peter, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If the righteous are hardly saved, if they're just making it, what about the unsaved? If you think a lot are saved, God said, no, they aren't. You think they are. Because they all sit and they all sing in the choir. Doesn't make them saved. But look at it, chapter 12. And if I wanted in last year, I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to get you to see the reality. You want to look at the world system, you want to look at our nation. That's real, what's happening. It isn't make-believe. It's really, really happening. So don't kid yourself. Oil and everything else, all the stuff is there. It's real. God, we want to be able to be enjoying your wonderful fathership and your discipline and your discipline and your discipline. That's what you do. And I'm looking back at my stupid little life and beckoning it. I would have never, if my father said something, I got it. I got it. I could have hit him and knocked him out. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it to my mother. I honored them. I was a son. I owed them. I owed them. And I did it. That's just little old me, and you did your thing, I know. I'm trying to help you see something. Because all the church, as we go down the road now, all that we're, what we just talked about, where are you going to hear it? Who even cares about it? No one cares. And I'm trying to help you to see something, to be able to not just be here in the building, but be in the body and enjoy it. Enjoy, I'm in the believer, my father's here, your father. It's a wonderful thing. I need to know that. And so I'm gonna be conscious when I get, so when I, anything, if I bend down and things fall out of my pocket or my coffee spills or anything, I'm very conscious of what? God. I'm conscious of the moment. God, why? I learn not to say anything, complain. I just take it inch by inch so that I say, thank you, God. And in my flesh, you have to understand, when you turn your pocket upside down, things fall out. That's the rule, and you're learning it. Discipline, things happen, because you're very conscious of God and what you're doing. And God's disciplining us. That's how here we are speaking, trying to mumble each other, to talk to each other. Where do you think that comes from? That comes from God. God helps. I brush my teeth, try to, and do whatever. And God just, next thing, wants what he wants. I'm there. I got it. How am I going to help the people? This is what to say. How to help them. How to help myself. I'm trying to get you to see. It's the relationship you and I need to have to enjoy an awesome Savior and God for real. And we're sensitive to the book, to what he says, to each other, and we're learning that discipline, very conscious discipline. When something God says something, I don't want to mess it up. I want to keep the pieces together in what I do. So, Hebrews 12, therefore, if I can, in going straight to verse 5 quickly. For, and we have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, and nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Therefore, stop despising, stop being careless, stop being indifferent. And, next command, and make sure in the process, when thou art rebuked, when thou art punished, when you are corrected, when you are disciplined, be there. Stop. Don't faint. Stop backing away. Don't be fainting. Don't be all want to say, God, I don't want to hear another negative thing. Sometimes you have to hear negative things. That's how you get to positive. How would you? And you know that. Now, what happens if your car battery was positive, positive? What happens if the hearing aid positive, positive? It's positive, yay! No, without the negative, the positive doesn't show up. I'll do it another way if you didn't get that. God, you created what? Light and darkness, both. Life and death, right and wrong, opposites. That's how you know. Love, hate, war, peace. That's how you know. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. God is good, and then there's evil. I need to understand that. Am I helping you a little bit? Now, so therefore, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, remember, to chasten, to bring up, to discipline. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He's going to scourge them, whip them, the word to scourge, to be whipped, to be flogged. And we looked at that. Let me do it a little different way also, scourging. So here's the Apostle Paul. And go with me over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, and again, bear with me. I wish all people were here and we all were on the same page. It's just us guys. And all those other people never heard any of this. and they don't know any of it. And if you ask them, they have no idea what we talked about, to practice it, to understand it. So how do we build unity? It's really hot, isn't it? People learn a little, come and go, do what they want. That's what they do. And you want to call it a club. It's a club better. The church club, not the church body. They need to understand. Anyway, now, so having said that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, sliding over to verse 21, the little word scourging. Verse 21, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? That's the word, scourge, to whip with a rod, to flog, to whip them. Unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness. And here's Paul coming, said, do I need to discipline the Corinthians? And they did need discipline. They did. He came to them with a rod. Who did? Paul. God sent Paul to the Corinthians with a spanking rod. And you don't read like you do in Ephesians. You don't read Corinthians like you do Ephesians. Two different things. Because they had to have a rod. They had to get helped. Spanking. Hang on. Now, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 11, if I may. 2 Corinthians 11. Going, if I can, chapter 11 and in verse 25. Paul telling about his experience as he journeyed through time. I'll read verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, I've been beaten by the Jews 5 times. I've been whipped. That's Paul. Paul, what a wonderful thing to be an apostle. Oh, man. You see? And the next verse, verse 25. Three times was I beaten with rods. I've been whipped 3 times. Whipped with rods. Once was I stoned, three times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in the water, out in the ocean, all by my own, floating on my little float out there in the ocean. See, Paul says, hey. So don't tell, Paul says, don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been there, man. I'm trained. And you know that, for people that are trained, the veteran, that's what you used to have, veterans. You want to get a veteran, you want to get trained, you want to get disciplined, you want to have someone that's been out and knows what it is, and they've learned by experience how to do the job and survive in foxholes and on the beach. They've learned how to do it. And they're doing it in a most wonderful way. You want to hear them. They know how to do it. And in God's wonderful grace, people that know what they're doing. It used to be we had missionaries years ago, and near the end of the age, but it was back then, the end of that age. And you'd have missionaries come, dear people. And they'd been out in the bushes, train wrecks, attacked by the Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. And they'd come and speak to you. They were for real. That's the old-fashioned missionaries. The old-fashioned. And man, you listen to them. For real. They're for real. Wonderful. They're real. They're real. There used to be a mission school over in Rhode Island. I can't. Providence, maybe. Bible, no. Whatever it was, years ago. And one of the things that I think they had there, and I had some in, by a little bit, people that were out in the field and they went to the classroom to teach. They could teach. When they read a verse to you, it was real. and it popped right out. They understood that. My God is able to provide all my need. And they've been through all the needs, like Paul. And you listen to them. That's the old-fashioned day. Old-fashioned speakers, missions, conference would come. And they had a reality, an awesome reality. And the book was real. Life was real. The relationship was real. That's awesome. It's hard to get that today because we're so far down the road and we're going so fast. If we just go a little slower, then we get older and badder slower, you see? But we're going super fast to get older and badder faster. But I mean older. When you were 12, assuming you're older, now take a 12-year-old today going to school, and you at 12. What you understood at 12 and lived, try understanding a 12-year-old today that's having to face what an adult does. Two different things. Everything's speeded up, terribly speeded up, so there's no time to catch up. There's no time to develop 4-year-old so you can become a 5-year-old. There's no way to enjoy the first grade so that you can enjoy the second grade. We've moved right along fast. So we can't grow. We can't develop. And so if the Lord tarries, the generation right now around us, the generation that's around us, they're going to know far less than you do. They've been indoctrinated. In fact, I heard someone, I don't know what it is anymore. I think someone said over 50% of the young people are socialist. They believe in socialism. I don't know. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so you're trying to Constitution, Declaration, U.S. flag saluting, God bless America. Remember, was it Kate Smith saying that? God bless America. Am I right in that? Kate Smith. Or Alveda Zane. One of them. Kate Smith. Dear old Kate Smith in the war. Wow. Anyway, you got the idea. Okay, now, we haven't done hardly anything. But hang on. Now, Hebrews. And you'll notice, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If you endure, as first class assumes to be, it is assumed to be true. You could have the word since or assume. If or assuming you endured chastening, bringing up, God is dealing with you as with sons. Because you are a son, and you're going to be a son, and act like a son, and live like a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The Father's going to what? He loves them. We're going to pick that up in the morning, if the Lord tarries, to remind us. And that's what we're going to do. If you're loved, you're going to get spanked. That's the way it is. God doesn't want us to be anything less. He doesn't want us to be a bum, a spiritual bum. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be with it. He's looking for it. He's waiting to have us with him in his presence now. So therefore, verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, always bringing up discipline with punishment, etc. And if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, you have to be all of partakers, then you are bastards or illegitimate and not sons. You're not sons if you do that. So therefore we're looking to God to what? We want to go. And God's going to bring us up and educate us in a most, most wonderful way. And so God is going to go and help us to understand that discipline is absolutely required. just a little side thought, we're sentenced in my mind. You don't love naturally. You'll learn to love. You'll learn to love. You don't do it naturally. You'll learn to be disciplined. You'll learn it. And you become what you can be. But you learn something. It isn't some natural thing you're going to have. You can be a wonderful mathematician and be able to know, read the pictorial mind. Oh, that's not the word to say it, but you read the pages and turn them and memorize them. That's awesome. But that doesn't save you. And that's just something you can do. And you can read all those pages just by turning them. But do you understand them? That's something else. Now, so here we are looking. God's going to go and do his wonderful, wonderful work in us. And so in the process, you are not going to be illegitimate, but you're supposed to be in God's kindness and grace, chastened, present tense, and if, assuming, you'll be without chastisement, as we read, without it, present tense, bringing up, then you're all partakers. We need to be partakers. That's the one. I wanted to get that. To partake of something. To be partners, to share something wonderful with discipline. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, a little exercise, we won't go very far, but a little bit, what make believe you're living back then when the world was like it was and they had the Bible and the believers should have been reading the Old Testament, etc. What was the general mood? They have to understand that. And in order to get that, what we're going to try, if you could go back to the 50s, how's that? Take you right now, move you back to 1950. The whole mood is different. The government's different. Everything's different. And you have to understand that. So here's the Old Testament. Here the believers are in Hebrews before the temple is destroyed in 70 AD. And what do they have? Go with me to Proverbs. You'll catch it. In God's wonderful grace. Here's Proverbs. And you remember now Proverbs chapter 3. And if I can get there. Proverbs in chapter 3. And what would they have understood? What would they have understood that they practiced? They should have. Proverbs chapter 3, remember, what we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, is the quote from chapter 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, correcteth, even as the father the son whom he delighteth." Now that's 11 and 12 are quoted in Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. That's what they're quoting. Now, while you're in Proverbs though, over to chapter 13, what would they have known about discipline? In chapter 13, picking up please, in verse 24. I'm just going to, you know all these things, but I'm just going to remind you of them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth his son chasteneth him many times." Chasten, spanks him. That's what you're going to do. And therefore, chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And just think of Russian communist training. What do you know? What do they do? Get the child in those early years and drill it into them. And when they get older, they're going to be the same. It's part of their makeup. They've absorbed it. And without God's help and without some really discipline, That's what they're going to think. Now, so therefore, chapter 22, verse 6, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And the spanking gets it out of your system. If you think of that, here's the board of education, the seat of your learning, bottom, and you're trying to think something, and you're getting paddled, and the more you get paddled, it's telling you to forget that method. Forget that. Don't say that way. And you forget it, because the board of education knocks it out of your system. Now, so therefore, chapter 23. Chapter 23, picking up in verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Verse 14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. So you're going to help him. You're trying to help him. That's another day. Now I'm going to do it a little different way. Over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And in verse 8. Everyone that gets spanked, it doesn't work out. People don't, they rebel. Chapter 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner. Why? Lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You love thee. Say, you hit me, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Don't do that. Say, okay. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise man heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Doesn't want to hear. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me what I can't think. See, back to the relationship. In the Marines or whatever you're doing. Now, having said that, chapter 17. And again, just putting them together so you see it. If you were a believer, you would read the Bible, and that's what you'd know. Chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can beat them up and kill them. They'll never change. People that want to learn, people that understand the relationship that we started with, how shall escape so great a salvation? I got it. I got it. I got it. Thank you. Thank you. I want to learn it. I don't want to do my thing. No. And chapter 20. And chapter 20, picking up. The blueness, chapter 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanses the way evil, so do the stripes and the inward parts of the belly. You learn. You may get beaten, have black and blue, but you learn something. You learned it. And that's worth every drop of being beaten. Now, we can't do that today, but think of it, it used to be. And I shared it, you all know that. I shared it, and that, when I went back in junior high school, Dr. Coyne, I remember him, I shared it with you, Dr. Coyne. And we did something shouldn't have done outside when we're in recreation. And so we had to go to the principal, Mr. Coyne. And Mr. Coyne, I said, did you do it? Yeah, yes, sir, we did. And, okay. So he went and got the board. He literally had a board of education. And we bent down, and he literally bopped us. He did it. Right now, we'd sue him and send him to Sing Sing. Right? I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit in this wandering. Sorry. Thank you.